like to pray for Andrew. I'd like to pray for the day. Wisdom, your word, flow through Andrew and onto the congregation for us. His words we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Steve. Today is Remembrance Sunday, the Sunday when we remember those who gave their lives to bring peace to this nation and Europe during the First and Second World Wars. While we think about those who fought during those wars in combat, we also think about those who were left keeping the country going on behalf of the war effort. For example, the Women's Land Army, who did the farming while the men were at war. Those who worked in factories, hospitals, firemen, and school teachers. On this Remembrance Sunday, we predominantly think about those who gave their lives in combat in the Army, Navy, and Air Force as part of the Allied forces in World War I and World War II. We also think about the involvement of the armed forces in Korea, Egypt, Malaya, Kenya, the Suez, Cyprus, South Arabia, Aden, Borneo, and those who have died as a result of the Northern Ireland Troubles, in the Falklands conflict, the Gulf War, the former Yugoslavia, Afghanistan, and Iraq. This time last year, on Remembrance Sunday, we were very much thinking about the war between Ukraine and Russia, which has had an economic effect on the whole world. Apart from the increase in food and energy prices, we might not think that the conflict in Ukraine could have a direct effect on British industry. During half term, I had the chance to visit a car factory in the Midlands, and I was told that one of the wiring looms used in the vehicle used to be made in Ukraine. And this disrupted their production, and they had to source this from another supplier. This year, we think about the situation in Israel and Gaza, and we wonder, where will this end? We know that both sides have made terrible choices, be that Hamas or the Israeli military, having been to the Holy Land and heard the views of many Israeli and Palestinian people. I know that there is no easy solution to this problem. And whilst praying about this talk, I was reminded of a visit that Catherine and I made to the Holy Land in 2006. I thought about how devoted the Jewish people are to prayer. And I'm sure many of you have heard of the Wailing Wall in Jerusalem. And I just need the clicker for the PowerPoint. Sam, can you help me out and push the slide forward, please? Thank you. The Wailing Wall is part of the original wall supporting the Temple Mount, where the original temple was situated in Jerusalem. This is as close as Jews can get to their most holy and sacred site. The dedication and intensity of prayer is very palpable at this site. The Orthodox Jews take their prayer at the wall very, very seriously. Now, as you get closer to the wall, in the joints, you can see pieces of paper pushed into the joints of the wall, prayers. I think that this is such a profound image of prayer and their people's faith in God. And I'm sure that Jews, Muslims, and Christians on all sides are praying for peace. For Israelis and Palestinians have huge ideological and political views on the future of their region. While in the Holy Land, I had the chance to visit a Palestinian refugee camp in Bethlehem, and we came across these beautiful children. They will now be well into their 20s, and who knows what each of them are up to. With the ability to transmit news literally seconds after it's happened anywhere in the world, we're bombarded with news, views, and insight and information 24 hours a day. Be that watching news on our televisions, on social media, or from a ping on our mobile devices. With this constant bombardment, more than any other people in history, it is easy to think that the world is becoming more and more violent. Well, I have some news for you. According to the Oxford University professor, Max Rosa, global deaths in conflict since the year 1400 have steadily been going down since 1945. Both the military and civilian death rates have been going down, as can be seen on this graph. Now, you might struggle, but if you can see the blue here and the red, they are going down way lower than any time since the 1400s. And in fact, I did a little zoom in there. So if you can see those two great big red, they look like skyscrapers, are actually the First and Second World War. And then after the Second World War, the death rate due to armed conflict has been steadily going down. So we may know more about conflict in the world, but the death rate of the armed conflict has been going down. One other thing I think about from time to time is we've all been told over the years about the amount of nuclear weapons there are in the world. And we know that there are a whole load of weapons that have been facing east and west for many decades. We also know that technology is not always 100% reliable. How come there has not been an accident with a nuclear weapon since Hiroshima and Nagasaki? I can only think of one thing: God. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Somehow we have God to thank for the peace and safety that we've had. God is in control. Our reading from the Bible today is part of a letter written to a very young church in Thessalonica. It was written by Paul to help strengthen the faith of the Thessalonians and to give them assurance about Christ's return. They did not have what we have today, the Bible, a book with all the answers in, well, some of them. The book that tells us the story about Jesus and what that means for believers today. The Thessalonians were part of the first group of believers to work out what this faith means in the first century. Like us, the Thessalonians needed encouragement and teaching in their new faith. Now, to help remind us, here is the reading that Steve read for us, but in the New Living Translation. And now, dear brothers and sisters, we want you to know what will happen to the believers who have died, so that you will not grieve like people who have no hope. For since we believe that Jesus died and was raised to life again, we also believe that when Jesus returns, God will bring back with him the believers who have died. We tell you this directly from the Lord. We who are still living when the Lord returns will not meet him ahead of those who have died. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a commanding shout, and with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God. First, the believers who have died will rise from their graves. Then together with them, we who are still alive and remain on earth will be caught up in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. then we will be with the Lord forever. So encourage one another with these words. This reading tells us one big thing. God has his hands on salvation history. So it is easy when we look at the world today to think, where is the hope? We might think, where is the hope? In national and local government and the challenges that we face each day. But we do have a hope. As Christians, we have the greatest hope in the world. I think it was only last week that Michelle Guinness, where is Michelle? She's not here. I see Peter. She's what? Oh, is she? Michelle, she reminded us in the intercessions last week that there was more power in the prayer of this church in this room than in the White House. I thought that was pretty cool. I did like that. In verse 13 of our reading, Paul says, "And now, dear brothers and sisters, we want you to know that what will happen to the believers who have died, so that you will not grieve like people who have no hope." Probably two of the greatest challenges to human beings today is insecurity and loneliness. Not even money or alcohol can cure these things. Matthew Perry, the well-known star of Friends, who died a few weeks ago, in the world's eyes, he had everything. He had money, fame, and alcohol. None of these things filled the hole in his soul or his craving because of his loneliness. He says this in his biography. He says, "Alcohol was my best friend because it never wanted to talk about itself. It was just always there, the mute dog at my heel. It took away so much of the pain, including the fact that when I was alone, I was lonely, and that was when I was with people." So even when he was with people, he felt lonely. Perry was earning millions of dollars for each episode of Friends towards the end of the series. He had everything in life except hope and security, which only God can give us in Jesus Christ. And that hope is found in the next verse of our reading, which says, "We believe that Jesus died and was raised to life again. So we also believe that when Jesus returns, God will bring back with him the believers who have died." I've told the congregation here before that I was asked to lead an assembly at Oakland School a while ago on what Christians believe about the end of the world. I thought, what an interesting title. Because actually, the Bible does not teach us anything about the end of the world. It teaches us about a renewed earth, but not just a new version of the world that we live in currently, but an earth that is joined with heaven, a new heaven and a new earth, a heaven and earth where believers will get to live forever, where there will be no war, no hatred, no insecurity, no poverty, no sickness, no loneliness, no dependency, and no death. The Christian story is the only story with hope for eternity. One question is then, how would the Thessalonians know that all of this was going to happen? Because Jesus is coming back to claim his own. First, he will come back to meet those who have already died, and they will rise and be with him. They will know this because of verse 16 that says, "The Lord himself will come down from heaven with a commanding shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God. First, the believers who have died will rise from their graves, and then together with them, we who are still alive and remain on earth will be caught up in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Then we will be with the Lord forever. So while we are on our way home from church, this is just a little warning, just something to think about during the rest of the service. On our way home, if you're walking, Jesus might return. And we'll all know this because we will hear the voice of the archangel and the trumpet call to God. And then the believers who have died will rise from their graves together. And with them, those who are still alive will be caught up in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Is that exciting? Is that an exciting prospect? Maybe we need to think about it a bit longer. Now, if you would like the experience of weightlessness, if you'd like to have that experience that, you know, that space people have, there is a company in America who will take you up in an aeroplane and give you the experience of weightlessness for about $9,000. Does that sound like a bargain? Well, the much better option is just to wait for Jesus' return and we'll all be carried up, you know, to heaven, so much cheaper. Now, our salvation is only made possible because of the sacrificial work of Jesus on the cross. And today, we remember the sacrifice made for each and every one of us by those who have died in the two world wars and those in the Army, Navy, and Air Force who have died and seen action in those wars. Recently, here at Pip and Jim's, we've had a new member join our church by the name of Paul Williams. And Paul serves in the Royal Air Force. And he's unable to be with us here this morning because he's on duty at Shefford in Bedfordshire. Last week, I asked Paul if he could give me a few words on what remembrance means for him, having seen action himself and how his faith has helped him over the years. And here is what he shared with me. What does Remembrance Day mean for me? As someone who has shared in the armed forces over 20 years, it often enters my mind, especially at this time of the year. Firstly, I think about those who came before me and made the ultimate sacrifice, not just for me, but for all of us to enjoy the freedoms and privileges that we have today. Yes, there are many things wrong in the world, but without them, it would certainly be far worse. At the going down of the sun and in the morning, I will remember them. Then my mind turns to friends I've lost in my time in the RAF, lost some of their lives fighting to protect others, from preparing for operational service, and some from ill health. They all made a difference in the world, and I am grateful for their sacrifice and will remember them. Finally, I think of the support I receive from others at this time of the year. The poppies, the parades, the kind words when I'm in uniform make me feel that my efforts are not in vain. For that support, I am grateful and feel proud to serve and protect those who cannot protect themselves. Without that support, I could not do what I do. For that, I will remember them. Another aspect I get support from is my faith. I trust in God, that He guides me and gives me the strength to do what is right in challenging times. My faith, especially in recent years, has given me strength to carry on when it would be easy to stop. The things I have seen and the decisions I have made would be difficult to reconcile without the knowledge that my faith has supported me through those times and kept me on a righteous path. Amen.